we picked up a certain type of serious violation of human rights, which are conducted in the framework of generalized attack or systematized attack against the population, the civil population. Among those serious violations, we have identified a certain of numbers of them which might constitute crimes against humanity. I said might constitute because we are working on the level of proof, which is a little bit lower than the one of a judicial body. Among those crimes, I would mention torture, murder, rape, and sexual violence.
I know it's impossible to quantify the numbers because you haven't got access for one thing to the country,
yes,
but you have had access to more than 500 testimonies.
Yes.
And you say that arbitrary detentions, possibly in their thousands,
yes,
cases of torture in their hundreds, cases of rape, dozens, but that's really just scratching the surface.
Yes, exactly. And you just mentioned the basis on which we have reached our conclusions, about 500 testimonies. So our inquiry is not totally exhaustive given the time which was given to us and the means as well as resources, human resources. So on the basis of those 500, we have given this pure estimation. It's very difficult to give precise numbers in dozens.
And I guess people might say, well, if you haven't got access to the country, what is the point of this particular report? You were set up a year ago by the Human Rights Council. How are you going to apply pressure to make sure that those who are responsible are brought to justice? Because you say there is raging impunity within the country.
It's not up to the Commission to raise pressure against the government of Burundi. Our mandate consists essentially in a mapping of the situation of human rights and examine the scale of the violations and determine if some crimes against humanity as well as identify the author of those violations. We did our job. So now it's up to the Human Rights Council and other stakeholders to take decision and to make pressure.
You mean the ICC, the International Criminal Court, as well as the African Union, you're calling
yes,
on them
yes,
as well to get involved.
Exactly.
Tell us about the ICC.
But the ICC is not a political body. The ICC is also limited in its action. The ICC can only prosecute and judge, and then it's up to the state to cooperate with the ICC in the conduct of the activity of the ICC, and as well as after the ICC has reached a final decision. So the ICC so far has opened a preliminary examination on the 25th April of 2016. And now it remains to be seen if the court will open an investigation as such in order to ascertain the possibility, again, working on the same basis, on the same burden of proof, reasonable grounds to believe that crimes against humanity have been conducted. And then if yes, then to see if they really occurred on the territory of Burundi.
Final question to you. What is the actual nature of the violence there? Is it political or is it ethnic?
The violence are mainly, essentially, exerted and perpetrated against political opponents. So the crisis is of a purely political nature so far. There's no information made available to the Commission to say that there's a kind of polarization alongside ethnic basis. So the polarization as well as the confrontation is of purely political nature. So political opponents have been targeted, not because of belonging to a certain ethnic group. Members of both ethnic groups have been targeted because they're opposition to the government of Burundi. This being said, the Commission stays alert and relating to a certain numbers of hate speech, as well as some insults which have accompanied certain of the violations that I just mentioned. Insults made by the perpetrators of the violation, but also some heinous hate speech made by certain representatives of the state of Burundi and of the party in power, the CNDD-FDD.